and welcome to worship. You see how you can get on in life? Normally the course sergeant major has to stand down there and give the announcements. But today I'm promoted and I stand here to do the same announcements anyway. But I'll get on with those because it's an open air. We're hoping to have an open air at 12:05 on the Triangle. Tea and coffee will be served in the community hall. A reminder, there's no army basics tonight, but next week when the commanding officers are back, we will start again on the second series of basics. The core program is almost back to normal this week. Monday, you'll see the Sallywags. Wednesday, Friends Together. Thursday, morning, coffee morning from 10 till 12. Explorers in the afternoon. And on Friday, Memory Lane. And the food bank? Well, the food bank will be open on Monday, Wednesday and Friday from 10 to 1pm. Next Sunday, the captain will be back, I hope, on duty. Well, now, I heard, whether it's true or not, but a minister was three quarters of the way through his sermon when he looked up and he saw a man in the congregation with his head on his wife's shoulder, fast asleep. And the vicar stopped his sermon and said, "Wake him up." And the lady stood up and said, "No, you wake him up, you put him to sleep." Well, I'm watching now to make sure who's asleep and who's not. But there's no chance of going to sleep this morning because we're here to praise the Lord. And I hope you're going to join with me now as we sing song 279. The words will come on the screen. And it's, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Let's stand together as we sing. In the Salvation Army, we have a little chorus, which is very short, but it says so much. It says, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. Then it says, prayer changes things in the morning, and prayer changes things at noon. Prayer changes things in the evening and keeps your heart in tune. It's prayer that keeps you in tune with our Lord and Saviour. Throughout the meeting, we will be thinking about laying up treasure in heaven, and we're using that as our subject this morning. But here we are for a few moments in prayer. We sing the chorus through, then we'll speak to the Lord in prayer. It's 801 in the psalm book if you're using it. Whisper a prayer.
Whisper a prayer in
together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of meeting in this way together in a fellowship to worship you and to praise your name. We ask for your presence here. We ask that through all that takes place in this meeting this morning, we will hear your voice, and above all, we will learn more about what you want us to do in getting treasure stored in heaven by you for us. So Lord, help us to listen, help us to feel your presence. We would think of those who are unable to be here. There are many soldiers of the Corps who, for years and years, kept this Corps and this church going. But now, through ill health, it's not possible for them to be here. But we remember them. And we ask you to be with them, Lord, and bless them at this time. And for ourselves, we simply ask, pour your spirit and your power into our meeting this morning. Ask this on behalf of the congregation and for myself. Amen. Amen. I have a problem. And I hope that Jackie can show you the problem on the screen. There's my problem. After three, would everybody please say what's on the screen? One, two, three. Yeah, I went like that. Like that. Well, I've got it written down here. I did ask the captain and the set if they would send me a voicemail with it on. They totally ignored me. So I imagine they can't say it either. But it's something like this. Temba and Nokatula and Malubu. Malubu. And there's a mistake on there, actually. He's no longer here. He's no longer a major, but they are now lieutenant colonels. And they come to us, and I just want to tell you what's happening when they come to visit us. It's on the 25th of June, and the lieutenant colonels will be coming, and Captain wants it to be a very special weekend with the whole church in and taking part. He's decided this is what will happen on that Sunday. At 10:30 in the morning, there will be a meeting, as we are now, but there'll be no coffee or tea following the meeting. He wants everyone who can to go with the band to the open air to show the town that the Salvation Army is still alive and what we're all about, and the Lieutenant Colonels will come with us and lead the open air. Then at 12:30, we come back to the hall and there will be a fellowship lunch. And this will be a cold meat and salad buffet followed by a dessert, tea and coffee for a donation of £5. After the fellowship lunch, then from 2 o'clock till 3, there'll be a short meeting and we'll hear more about the Colonel's work. I see also in the paper this week they've been appointed back to South Africa to take charge of that area there. And so it's a special Sunday. He wants us, the captain, to make that extra. If it means coming out of your comfort zone and standing at the open air, well, come out of your comfort zone and let's show them that we're alive. So it's 10:30 in the morning, 12:05 the open air, 12:30 the fellowship lunch, and 2 the last meeting for the day. For the fellowship month, we're giving you till the 18th of this month to put your name on the board, and I can see the list from here. There's nobody on it, but I can see the list from here. And if you want to join for the fellowship meal, please let us know by the 18th. And I'm sure it's going to be a great, great weekend. Now, excuse me, have we got any little ones? Well, not little ones, children, not little children. But if you'd like to come and stand, now let me tell you, there's no burning balloons or chopping up people's bodies or anything like that. All you have to do is stand and make sure you can see either of the screens, okay? Because we're going to, when you've gone into Sunday school, I'm going to try and get these people to store up treasures in heaven. But if you have a look around, do you think it's going to be easy for me? No, I don't think it is, but we're going to have a go. But it's also for you. So this is very special. There's a dog on here who is ever so worried about his bone. And he keeps moaning about his bone. Well, why should I tell you the story? If you click the button, we're away. I'll come and stand with you. What's your name? Norman, isn't it? No. Here we go.
Okay, Scrub, are you ready to read the Bible with me? We're going to read from a book called Matthew. It's all about Jesus. And in chapter 6, Jesus is up on a hill and he's teaching a huge crowd of people.
Oh, he's teaching a little bit.
He's teaching his disciples how to live as his people. So how to live God's way.
Cool. Sounds interesting. Well, take it away, wrong.
Okay, well, this is chapter 6, verses 19 to 21.
Alright, I'm listening.
Yeah, and Jesus says, don't store up treasures on earth.
No, that's all right too. But that's silly. Everybody stores up treasures. I mean, oh, look, I've got this boat. I shouldn't take out my boat. Yes. And then I have a whole lot of chocolate. I think so. So I dip the boat in the chocolate. So good. That's what you do. They store up treasures. They money in the bank. Or at least in the pitch bank.
Yeah, but Jesus says, don't store up treasures on earth. Moths and rust can destroy them.
Moths? I didn't think of that. I mean, what happens if the moths? What if the moths get into my cupboard? Then suddenly in my box? I better go and pick a moth. I better say, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
That's right. You didn't let me finish. It says, don't store up treasures on earth. Moths and rust can destroy them. And thieves can break them and steal them.
Thieves? Oh, no! I didn't think about a thief.
Well, in the end, nothing in this world is totally safe. I mean, if we spend all our time worrying about toys or clothes, money, eventually they might get stolen. Or even if they don't, they'll eventually rot and be gone. Jesus says, in
boat.
Bring and steal them.
What, bring them to heaven?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Is there a big white plane up in heaven?
No, no. What Jesus is saying is that instead of spending our time worrying about our toys and money and bones, well, we should spend our time trying to store up treasures in heaven that last forever.
You said nothing lasts forever.
Oh, well, not in this world, but everyone who trusts Jesus is a friend of God. And we'll live forever with him in a place where nothing ever rusts or rots or gets stolen. And everything is good all the time. So that's what Jesus is saying, that we should store up treasures in heaven by loving God more than anything else and by helping others hear about Jesus.
Right, so it's what I'm getting to say. People should love God more than anything else, more than their bones, more than their toys, more than their money.
Yes, that's what Jesus is saying. And he finishes with, your heart will always be where your treasure is. See, so we should give our hearts to God because God's love lasts forever.
Oh, sounds great, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why don't you read Matthew 6:19-21 yourself and think about how you can store up treasures in heaven?
Stop! Thief! Get away from my heart! Oh.
Your heart will always be where your treasure is.
Remember, your heart will be where your treasure is. So if your treasure is your favourite doll, your rocket,
yeah,
your dancing, football.
And Connor's phone.
What's he got?
Connor's phone as well. Yeah.
It's a secret. I'm not telling you what she said. But if we put them first, it doesn't say there that we have to throw them away and never use them. But they want us to love Jesus first. Right. Shall we do that? Okay, now, I want you to show these people who always say you're so noisy, I want you to walk out to your Sunday school, but very quietly, so we can't hear you. I feel sorry for Felicity there because she was looking at my wife and my wife was confusing her, but then I get that all the time. So, but they've gone. But that little dog with his bone just starts us off on our thinking about laying up treasure in heaven. We're going to sing again now, and its song is 597. In the song book. The words again will come up here. We will remain seated as we sing this song, Jesus, with what gladness I can truly sing. Thou art my Redeemer, friend and guide and King. Thou art mine forever. I will give to thee all my life and treasure. Thine alone I'll be. Thank you, band. An introduction? great song. I think that song says everything we wanted to say. Giving the Lord our time, our health, our talents. Storing up treasure in heaven. Later on we'll see how the Word of God, what it expects us to do in order to get that treasure ready for the day when we come into the kingdom of God. I'm just getting used to now to the offering being taken in the meeting, and we're going to do that now, and there'll be music played for us, and we'll receive your gifts, please. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the many gifts that you give us. The things we love, like our homes, our work, our family. We ask you to accept our offering this morning, though we know it's small compared with your great gifts and love for us. But we ask that you will help us to use this money wisely, especially to be used for getting more people to know about you in our district here in Felixstowe. So add your blessing to our giving. I ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, you're doing very well at the moment. I've not seen anyone leaning on someone's shoulder. You twitched a bit there, Claire, but here's a part of the meeting where you can't really sleep or fall off to sleep because it's the band. And they're going to play us a little march, which is called Crowning Glory. And in this march, there's a verse that says, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, I have given my all to God." If you don't hear that, it's because I'm supposed to play it and I've missed it. But I'll let you know after. So here we are, the band with Crowning Glory. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, band. Wasn't much help to live the last bit. I forgot to change my glasses and I couldn't see the music. But did you hear the bit? Glory, glory, hallelujah. How did you think about it?
Superb,
thank you. That comes from a musician. Thank you very much. Well, it's a lovely, catchy tune, and it's fitting to the spirit of what we're going to talk about. But we're going to read now together, and the scripture reading will come on the screen. It's taken from Matthew 13, just two verses, and then we go straight into two verses of chapter 6, and it comes on the screen, so let's read it together. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break, cheat, and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a very important verse of that scripture. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And that's the crux of it all. And that's something we've got to work out as Christians. Before we listen to the songsters, being this a beautiful song, we're going to sing just a verse two of another congregational song, which is 880 in the song book, and it's None the Love of Christ Can Measure. 880, and there's the words there. None its steps can ever tell, none can estimate the treasure held by those who with him dwell. We have a new pianist. Hi, Penny, nice to see you. And a little introduction for us, thank you. If you don't know that song. Okay, take a song book home and learn it for next week. The other three, please sing a bit louder this time, okay? So, yeah. Oh, how wondrous. It's a catchy tune, you'll soon find it. Oh, how wondrous is another verse, so just getting used to it. You're singing louder and louder, it's great. But on the cross he died. That's the greatest gift that God has given us. And we have to really thank him for it. Now we're going to listen to a song which is entitled With Wings as Eagles. Well, I find one of my favourite songs to pieces. It's a bit high, but we struggle to get there. But it, right through it, it says, we will rejoice in the Lord. We will rejoice in the Lord and be glad. And listen now to the songsters as they bring us With Wings of Eagles. Great song, isn't it? And
we could really stop there and rejoice and be glad in the Lord. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to look at God's word and a British treasure hunter called Dave Crisp discovered a huge stash of Roman coins buried in the field somewhere in the southwest of England. And using a metal detector, he found a large pot holding thousands of coins. And it was found out that these ancient silver and bronze coins dated back from the 3rd century AD. They weighed more than 300 pounds and they were valued at 5 million pounds. Whilst that treasure may cause you and I to dream, if only we could find similar riches, we as Christians should be on a different kind of treasure hunt. What we seek doesn't consist of silver and gold. Rather, our quest is to gather the precious gems of wealth that comes from a full knowledge of Christ. In, as it says in Colossians, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Bible is God's word to the world. It's God's treasure chest. And if we are to find God's treasure, we must find Jesus. So the surest place to find Jesus is in the Bible. And as we get to know Jesus, we discover the hidden treasures of God. If we truly are to get to know Jesus, we must be immersed in his word and be led by his spirit. God's truth must be so earnest with all the attention of someone seeking hidden treasure. The psalmist says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Well, I wonder this morning if you're eager to discover the treasures of truth stored in God's word. If you are, then let's start digging and into the treasure chest of God's word. And we're going to use the two twin parables, I call them, the twin parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. Like twins, these parables are alike. They both emphasize the great truth that the kingdom of God is more important than anything else in this world. Verse 44 said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. I found that in the days of Jesus, buried treasure was not an uncommon occurrence. The ground was, you could say, the security vault of people because they were besieged by conquering armies time and time again. So they buried the treasure in the ground, hoping it would not be found. So here we have a man ploughing in a field with no apparent thought of finding treasure when, bang, he struck something. He investigated, and there before his eyes was a treasure more valuable than he had ever imagined. He knew its value, and he simply had to possess it at all cost. He covered it up again to keep others from stealing it, and we're told he joyfully and quickly sold all that he had in order to buy that field. And once he'd done that, then the law of the land stated he could claim the treasure as his own possession. In verses 45 and 46, we read that pearls who are valued in the New Testament sort of much like diamonds are today. This merchant went from place to place buying and selling pearls. He was always looking for pearls of a more beautiful color, perfect size. And one day he discovered a pearl more wonderful than he could imagine. And he too immediately recognized it as the more valuable than anything he possessed. He must have it. So he sold all his possessions in order to buy it. Now, I don't tell you about those parables as a plea for you and I to go and sell everything we have so that we can gain the kingdom of God. Instead, they are a call for us to desire the kingdom above all else. God doesn't want us to get rid of everything we've got, but he wants his kingdom to be the thing we desire most of all. The man in the field realized that he'd struck it rich, and the connoisseur of pearls knew that he'd found the ultimate in value, and they both gave up all they had for it. Anyone who enters the kingdom of God must come, of course, by faith and repentance. He parts with all else to gain it. See, the heart of the Christian experience is that one personally forsakes all in order to give his all in believing faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But entry into the kingdom of God is not by outward ceremony or church membership or money. Although, if you remember Easter, the robber on the cross, he was never baptized, but Jesus affirmed his salvation. But back to our two characters. Both parted with all to possess the treasure they had found. The emphasis on the part of one who has found Jesus is not how much he gives up, but rather how much he gains. The Christian does not think about what he has given up for Christ. He rejoices in the riches he has found in Jesus. In Philippians, it comes in a little verse that says, "We gain life by losing it." I found out that even twins have some difference, and I suppose that's the difference why people recognize them. I know we had twins here in the corps, and I never knew which one was which, so I just called them both Betty, and they've been known Betty for the last 25 years. But I'm sure the family, although they were almost identical, I'm sure the families knew the difference. And so the man in the field had no thought of finding treasure. He was about his daily task. The merchant, however, on the other hand, was seeking that most perfect pearl. The man in the field was probably poor, whereas the merchant probably rich. Every individual's experience in coming to Christ, yours and mine, is in some way very different from that of others. The Apostle Paul was blinded by a light from heaven and heard the voice of Jesus. Now it would be wrong and false of me to insist that others must do the same to enter the kingdom of God, that you have to have a flashing light experience. But some people know exactly the time and place where they found Jesus. Now, I must ask you here, is there anybody here who is Irish? Oh dear. Right. Well, you see, we lived in Ireland when I was a Salvation Army officer, and we were appointed to a quaint little place called Inniskillen. And there they have a lovely Salvation Army, but about 100 years behind everybody else. And when we went to the welcome meeting, I asked if there was anyone in the meeting who would like to give their testimony. And the Corps Sergeant Major, as they do, he stood up and he did a sort of spring. He said, "I jumped for joy because I found the Lord in 1945 at Ballygally." And then another one popped up and said, "I praise the Lord, I found the Salvation Army in Belfast Citadel in 1962. Another said, "I was walking along the river Loch Earn and I found the Lord in 1979. And they kept coming, they kept coming. They all seemed to know the time and the date and the day when they found the Lord. Well, it was brilliant, of course, that they did found the Lord. But to insist that you have to have a blinding light experience or a time and place experience is false. The true test is Jesus valued in your life above all? The important question is not when was I saved, but am I saved now? Is Jesus precious to me now? Is he more valuable, the greater treasure than all other things? Because that's what our aim is, that Jesus will be first in all things in our life. God is more precious and wonderful than anything we can imagine on earth. Our treasures are nothing compared with his glory, and we can hope in his promises. God has given us all we need. probably forgotten what was on that little video, but it was said there, I've heard that we should store up treasures in heaven, but I've also heard that when we die, we can't take anything with us. So what does that mean? Well, this troubled a young man, and I found a little writing from the very famous Reverend Billy Graham, and he says this little story. As an old man was dying, he told his grandson, I don't know what type of work I'll be doing in heaven, but if it's allowed, I'm going to ask the Lord to let me help build your mansion. So be sure to send up plenty of the right materials. Now, this troubled a young man for some time, and he didn't realize what his grandfather meant by that. Store your treasures in heaven. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And Billy Graham said, obviously the grandfather, in his wisdom, was sending a message to his young grandson that if he lives according to God's word, he will be sending up the right materials to heaven. Because God is busy at work preparing a place for each person, for me, for you. Each one who repents of sin and receives Christ as their Savior and eternal life in heaven. But what are these treasures that we need to store with the Lord? Well, it's praying for others on earth, while we're on earth, witnessing to the truth of his word, doing unto others in the name of Jesus. Those are things that are the right materials, the things that really count, that we should store up in heaven. Storing up the truths of God's word in our hearts is also a key to walking in the right way, God's way on earth. When we read and study his word, it helps to prepare us for whatever comes into our lives and helps us in the good and, of course, the bad times. The Bible tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. These are the treasures that we can store in heaven if we live by them while we're here on earth. We need to walk with God and be faithful every step of the way, for it produces these qualities that please God. Why is the kingdom of heaven important today? Well, the kingdom of heaven has important applications for us today. First, the message of the kingdom of heaven is a genuine offer from God to rule in the hearts of those who believe in his name. Submission to the kingship of God is what brings true freedom. Those who resist and reject God, then the word tells us they are in bondage. Treasure hunters may spend a lifetime seeking riches, and many fail. I did look up to see what has happened to many of the people who have won millions and millions of pounds on the lottery and the football pools, and it's surprising how many of them, their marriages failed. How many of them spent all the money and haven't got any of it left now? Well, many treasure hunters seeking riches fail. But even if they succeed, what have they gained? By those people I've just mentioned, nothing. They become a bit like the rich young man in Matthew 19 who valued his wealth more than his God. But we who are Jesus' followers, by contrast, we seek an eternal treasure, the kingdom of God. Christians need to seek God with even greater zeal than the treasure hunters seeking gold and jewels. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Those who seek material treasures often fail in their search. But we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, then we will find the greatest treasure of all. And God also promises to provide us with all that we need. So I ask you, as you leave this place this morning, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Well, living the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and peace and joy and kindness and goodness and gentleness, is storing up whilst we're on earth, treasure in heaven. So this morning, ask yourself the question, is your heart set on earthly treasure, the must-haves like the car, the house, the holiday, or is your life on earth storing up treasure in heaven? Well, go away this morning and remember this little verse. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be there also. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be there also. What are the desires of your heart? Are they the things of earth or the things of heaven? I just ask you as you leave this morning to take that question with you. Where is your heart? Because wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Are you laying out treasure in heaven for that moment when we meet our friends again and we see our Saviour? Well, if we stored up treasure in heaven, that will happen for us. We're going to just sing a little chorus that says, "Prayer gently lifts me to highest heaven, from earth's confusion to Jesus' best." As we sing this little chorus, help to lift you to highest heaven, from the confusion of earth to Jesus. If we don't store treasure in heaven, I don't know what will happen, but I know that if we do, then it'll be a great day when we have to leave this place, because we've stored up that heaven, that treasure in heaven with the Lord. We'll listen to the tune so that you know what we're going to sing. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we would ask that we would just put treasure in heaven for us, that the day when you call us will be that great day. We thank you for all the gifts you give us, the treasures on earth that we need day by day, the food we have, the clothes we wear. But it's the heavenly treasures that are more important to us, Lord. Help us then to think of that verse, wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be also. I just pray for each one of us here this morning that our hearts are in the right place, because that's where our treasures will be. Thank you, Lord, for our worship. Help us as we go to the open air, or we join together in fellowship. May we feel your presence there. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. If you can sing this last song, good on you, because it means you're on the way and your treasures are in heaven. It's number 867. It says, I felt a new and loving touch upon my heart and soul. I felt God's love and wondrous power descend and make me whole. A miracle, yes, a miracle. God's Holy Spirit came, and I am not the same, for he touched me and filled us with his love. Have you been touched with the Holy Spirit? I hope you have. We're going to stand and sing this song, 867, if you're using the song book, and there'll be an introduction from the band. Thank you. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for that day when you touched us and filled us with your Spirit, with your love. If there is anyone in this service this morning who hasn't felt that touch, I just pray for them, and that during this coming week, through their prayers, they will find this experience of being touched by the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we pray that as we separate and go our many different ways, that your grace, your peace, your love, and your Holy Spirit will go with us and guide us through these coming days. In your precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Band will play a tune, and then make your way to the open air, or make your way to tea and coffee.